Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 tells us we have a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's a great misconception about sin. People don't fall into sin, they choose it. Every single sin in our life is there because we have chosen to sin. No one is caught by surprise. No one is, I wasn't aware. The things that we choose to do that are wrong and against God are there because we chose them personally. Now, we might have been escorted in that area. It might have been in a group of friends. It might have been around a people. There might have been some sort of influence. But when it came down to it, you chose. And that's what that verse says. Rather, what would we rather do? I'd rather be with the people of God and suffer affliction than enjoy the pleasures of sin. And it gives us this thought for a season. You understand that sin is pleasurable for a season. We have some thoughts towards sin. Our own personal sin. Now, I don't want you looking around the room. I don't want you to be like, oh yeah, this is for them, or this is for you tonight. And whatever it is, that sin which does so easily beset you, I want you to consider that in the eyes of God tonight. Because we think with sin, I can stop any time. I'm in control of my sin. I got this thing figured out. I just want to have fun for a little while. But that's not what sin is. Sin isn't fun. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3. Turn there. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 4. 1 John 3, 4 says, whosoever committeth sin does what? Transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin isn't a mistake. Our kids do schoolwork, and sometimes the students will not mark things wrong because they don't want... I know, Johnny. Do you remember this? That was a long time ago. Yeah, you got in trouble for that. And, I don't want to mark this wrong because then my teacher will think I don't know it. Well, you don't know it. And they think, well, I'd rather look okay and have her than deal with the honesty of the thing. You know what? That's kind of our approach to sin. It's not a mistake. It's not like, well, 2 + 2 = 7. No, that's wrong. But that's not sin. Oh, I was trying to fix this thing and I put this part on before that part. That's a mistake. Sin is a breaking of God's law. It doesn't matter which one it is. It doesn't matter where it is, and we categorize sin. This sin's bad, this one's not, and there is no degrees of sin. Sure, the consequences are different. But it's all sin. And all has a destructive consequence to it. And if we think for a moment that our sin is any less problemsome than somebody else's, oh, this guy over here, that's what he does. That's bad. But mine, oh no, mine's manageable. I was talking to a man last month, and he was telling me about his brother, functioning alcoholic. By 10 o'clock, he's all ready. And he doesn't see a problem with it. Well, the Bible has some pretty strong things to say about it. You're going to destroy your life. You're going to lose everything. It's destructive. It's hurtful. And we look at that and go, oh, that is awful. Oh, that person needs Jesus and a program. And we look at that and say, that's sin. Yeah, but what about your life? What about the things that are going on in your life? It's so easy when we talk about sin to think about everybody else's. But we fail to remember that we also have chosen. We also have chosen to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is the breaking of God's law. And do you understand that when you sin, oh sure, it might be an offense to me, but I can get over it. But you've offended God Himself. It's a sin, a transgression against God. You've broken His law. We're at the barber today, and the barber was fooling around with Sam. He's in the chair, and he puts all his hair straight up. He's like, "What do you think of that, Dad?" I said, "He don't come into school like that." And he's like, "What's the problem?" And he's just giving me a hard time. I said, "The problem is that's not allowed. No fad haircuts." "Well, that's your rule, Pastor." "So that is correct. And if you break my rule, you'll get a demerit. But if you break God's law, it's sin." Sin is fun for a while. And the attitude of people today is, "I would like to do whatever I want and what feels good for me right now because it is a fleshly pleasure." And sin is fun, as the Bible says, for a season. But then there comes a payday. There's this very severe consequence to sin. And God is very good at keeping very good records. And He's not mean and He's not waiting for us. But when we continually choose to do sin, there's a consequence to it according to the Scriptures. And Galatians 6:7 tells us that we reap what we sow. And I've been trying to use those verses for the positive and encourage us and say, hey, sow good things, plant good things, do good things, invest in godly things, invest in righteousness, and that thing's going to be multiplied. And I've been trying to take the positive side of Galatians 6, 7, and 8, but there is also a negative promise to that. And there is a way that we plant sin, and all of a sudden what is surrounded? We're standing in a field of harvested sin. And it's overwhelming. And we wonder, how did I get here? What do I do? There fails to be, in our mind and in our logic, a good enough reason to get rid of our sin. Why should I? Look at how much fun I'm having. I'll tell you some reasons why tonight. I'll tell you some reasons why that you would want to get rid of sin right away. Things you've probably heard before, but number one, it takes you much further than you ever wanted to go. The consequences to sin is incalculable. We think we can do that. Okay, here's the payment for that. It's like a shopping list. The other day I was went off Monday night. We were grabbing coffee. I was grabbing treats and stuff, and I saw the total come up. And once again, I'm like, that's not right. You did something bad with the coupon thing. There's no way that three really nice big drinks and dinner was $12. It's just not right. Because in my mind, I had what it was going to cost. And quite the opposite. We calculate our sin and say, okay, this is this, and these are going to be the consequences, and here's the pleasures, and the pleasures outweigh the consequences, and therefore, in my mind, it's justified. I'll deal with the consequence of sin. Because the pleasure is pleasurable enough, but you failed to take into account that it will take you much further than you ever wanted to go. There's a commitment of sin. The plan was only to dabble in sin for a little while. Just want to see what it was like. But it takes you to a place that you never thought you would be. The devil wants to get you out. Wants to get you out of Christianity as a whole. Now, he can't get a hold of your soul, but he can make you ineffective. And how do God-fearing, Bible-reading, praying saints go from sitting in this pew to never entering into the church again? Why? Because they wanted to just dabble in sin for a little while, and all of a sudden they find themselves in God knows what place. I just wanted to play around for a little while. I could tell you heartbreak story after heartbreak story of young people that had all the aspirations in the world that turned into jail time, that turned into a lifelong of just battle and distrust and just a mess. Rick, you work over at the jail. You see it. Say, come on, Pastor. You're talking to me. I'm not going to go end up seeing Rick over at the jail. You'd be surprised who he's seen. You'd be surprised who has come through his door. You'd be surprised who he's handed an outfit to. You say, how did I... And there they are, and the door clanks behind. Boom. And they're sitting there on the little cot bed saying, how on earth did I get to this place? I just wanted to mess around a little while. I thought I could quit any time. But no, sin. Sin takes you much further than you ever wanted to go. There was a time when warfare was you line up on your side, and I line up on my side, and the strongest guy wins. You can have a bunch of guys, and I'll have a bunch of guys, and that's how it goes. Well, it's crazy how it goes now. They're taking little kids, and they're strapping bombs to them. What happened? Sin happened. It's destructive. That's what it does. Not only does it take you further than you ever wanted to go, number two, it keeps you longer than you ever wanted to stay. There is strength to sin. Ever go to a place and think, I'm just going to stay for a few minutes. I'm going to run in, say hello. That's how I thought we were way ahead of schedule when I walked into the haircut place today and I just saw Brother Rice sitting there. That's it. Just him. That was it. But I guess that haircut there takes a long time to do. And it did. So we're talking, and then Sam really needed his haircut, so he got the chair. And then I was just like, it's 5 o'clock, I gotta go. I stayed much longer than I... Well, Sarah calls me. She's like, hey, where are you? I'm like, we are leaving in 10 minutes. 30 minutes later, we're walking out. Ever do that? Just wanted to stop in real quick, and then one thing leads to another, and before you know it, man, where'd all that time go? Our teenagers, I just want to play one game. I'm just going to play one game. Just one round. My kids ask me, Dad, can I just, we upgraded a thing, can I just collect the... All right, go ahead. Hey, 30 minutes later, what are you doing? Oh, I don't know. You know, I wanted to try it. I just wanted to try the new weapon on my robot, and, you know, there it is. And that's how we do. But sin keeps you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Some years ago, had the privilege of driving across the country. Drove from here to Nevada. Say, that's a long ride. You better believe it was. That's a really long ride. Took us a couple weeks. We had picked out spots and saw the Grand Canyon, went to Mesa Verde, and just saw some really neat places. And the place that we ended in Nevada, there's these gambling places. A little town, Las Vegas. That's what it is, Las Vegas. You've heard of it? So there we are in Las Vegas, and we're sitting there. Very difficult to find a hotel in Las Vegas with zero gambling. But we did. Found a little Holiday Inn Express, and there we were. And I mean, they have slot machines in the lobby, but you can't go anywhere without that. Say, why were you there? Well, we were driving my brother-in-law cross country and getting him to the base out in California. So there we are. We're staying there, and we're like, well, we're here. Let's go look around. And you go into a casino, all the windows are blacked out. There's no clocks anywhere. Why? Because they want you to stay all day. They want, when you look outside, it looks the same all the time. You can't tell if it's night or midday. Unless you're looking at your watch. They got no clocks on the walls. They're not coming around saying, excuse me, sir, you've been sitting at this table for close to 6 hours now. I think it's time for you to go. That's not what they say. They come over and say, sir, would you like a drink? Would you like to stay a little bit longer? Say, did you gamble? I did not gamble one time. Nothing. I did not do anything. I walked in. I was giddy because I bought $5 worth of little Bellagio tokens to take back as a memorial there. Souvenir, that's the word. Didn't even sit at the table. Why are you saying all this? Because that's what sin is. I'm going to black out the windows. I want you to stay all day. I know you think you're just gonna mess with this for a moment. Oh no, we got much greater plans for you, young man. I'm telling you, I deal with a lot of young people through our school that come to me heartbroken. Pastor Russo, I looked at some things that I shouldn't. I can't stop. I thought it was just gonna. What is it? It's sin. And it grabs a hold and it won't let go. Now I can't get... I don't know what to do, Pastor Russo. Thought it would be fun for a little while and now I can't stop. Your intentions might be just to have a little fun. But then you realize you can't get away from its tight grasp. I want you to listen to this last point here tonight. Not only does it take you further than you've ever wanted to go, and it keeps you longer than you wanted to stay, number three, it leaves you worse than you started. No one that tampers with sin ever comes out and says, man, I'm glad I did that. I am better for that. No, no, you are not. And the quicker you can get out of that thing, the better. You could lose your family. You could lose your ministry. You can lose your name. So you're talking identity theft? No, I'm saying that when someone says your name, they don't think good things. I was at the mechanic. And we were talking. He asked me if I knew somebody, and I kind of did. And he just went on to say all the bad things that this guy had done to him. I thought, man, imagine walking around, and this guy's dead. Imagine being remembered for that. What happened? The effects of sin. It left him worse. It left him the worse for it. You understand the effects of sin will hurt those around you. Think, okay, I'll take on the consequences of my sin. No, you're going to have the ripple effect and affect everyone around you. Chloe's a sweetheart. I would never want to do something in my life that would somehow negatively impact her walk with the Lord. But that's what sin does. It doesn't just hurt me. Remember Achan? Remember Achan stole the thing and they said, Achan, you're guilty. Get in the hole. And all your family. Why is that? Because sin. And we think that we can just Oh, I'm just going to have a good time with this. I'm just going to... Hey, do you understand that your offense isn't against me? Oh, I've offended Pastor Russo. Oh, he's going to think less of me. Hey, forget what I think about you. What does God say? What does God think about what you're doing? Well, I'll deal with the... You have no idea what those consequences are. None. And the effect of sin is awful. I've never, nor will you ever, there is no exception to it. And if you're looking to do hurt and harm, not only to yourself and to those that are around you, then go ahead and continue. But I don't know anybody in their right mind that says, I want to hurt those ones that I love. Get over the pleasures of it. Have some discipline. Get out of the thing. Hey, the easiest day to quit sin is today, not tomorrow. And if you think for a minute that, hey, it'll be easier tomorrow, I'm going to stop tomorrow, turning over. No, stop today. Be extreme. Hey, if you're having a problem with watching the wrong thing, get rid of cable. Unplug the call Spectrum tomorrow. I am canceling. Well, they're going to charge me because I'm in a contract. Hey, it is worth it. Hey, just up the road is a bar, and I struggle. Move. Sell my house. Yes! It's not worth it. There's no sin that's worth it. Be extreme in your responses. That means I'm going to have to change my relationship. That might hurt their feelings. Do you understand? Hurt their feelings. Do that. Because it's sin. And you're never going to justify it. It's never going to be okay. It's never going to be right with God. And you'll lay in bed at night thinking and having the guilt of sin. And it's never going to go away. It's never going to be nice. It's never going to be, well, at least God loves me. Yes, certainly He loves you. But He hates what you're doing. And there's a consequence to that. Breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart to see our young people deceived into thinking that sin is okay. I don't know who's lying to them. Well, I do. It breaks my heart when people think I'm just going to mess around for a little while. You're going to be gone. You're going to be gone much longer. Pastor, I'll be back. Don't worry. Don't worry about me. Oh, I'm going to worry every moment about you. Because I know what the Bible says about sin. And it's a serious thing. Could you rather choose the afflictions of this life than the pleasures of sin for a season? Church, I'm here to tell you, I love you. I care for you, and I want what's best for you, not because I want you to look like me. Look at me. I look like an 80-year-old man. I get it. Pastor, you're falling apart. I get it. I know. I'm 30 pounds overweight. I'm 5.5 feet tall. I wear cardigans. I get it. I know. But I love you, and I care for you. In any way I can help you, and any of that, I will gladly take that burden and help you and run with you and lift you up as much as I possibly can. Because I'd rather carry the afflictions of whatever it is that you're going through than for you to entertain the pleasures of sin for a season. I'll fight with you. I'll fight on your behalf. Because I love you. And I hate sin. I hate what it does. Because there's a row full of kids that should be here. Because someone lied to them. I'm telling you, the things that you heard tonight are true. Let's all stand. If you could pray for one another. Think about yourself. Say, that sounds pretty arrogant. Think about your sin. Is there something in your life that you're entertaining? Because it's fun. Hey, understand it's not always going to be fun. And there's, I guarantee I could bring person after person after person up and say, are you dealing with some of the consequences of the decisions you made as a young person? Yes, I wish I hadn't. Is God forgiving and merciful? Absolutely. But sin's a real thing. And it's really destructive. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. God, I am thankful that you are merciful unto us. God, I thank you for today to give us an opportunity to make things right with you. Lord, it is so much better for us to judge ourselves than to be judged by you. And Lord, I pray that we would do just that. Lord, I pray that you'd lead us and guide us. Help us to be an encouragement one toward another. Lord, help us to edify one another, and that we would encourage each other to walk in a way that is pleasing unto you. Lord, please help us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good night. God bless you.